I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
The information provided in this podcast episode is for entertainment purposes and is not medical advice. If you have any questions about your health, contact a medical professional. This content is strictly the opinions of Lucas Owen and is for informational and entertainment purposes only. The references, claims, and scientific information linked to any products are only applicable to those listeners who are based in the US. If you are outside the US, this information does not apply to you. It is not intended to provide medical advice or to take the place of medical advice or treatment from a personal physician. All viewers of this content are advised to consult with their doctors or qualified health professionals regarding specific health questions. Thank you for listening to the Boost Your Biology podcast. My name is Lucas Owen. I uncover the most cutting-edge health information on the planet, ranging from hormones, nutrition, supplementation, fat loss, biohacking, longevity, wellness, and a whole lot more. Welcome to the Boost Your Biology podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Boost Your Biology podcast. Today's special guest is an internationally renowned expert on detoxification. Now, before we get into the podcast, I do want to remind everyone that this podcast is purely for informational purposes only. Please do consult your healthcare professional before making any changes to your lifestyle or routine. This is not medical advice. Wendy Myers, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Awesome. So, Wendy, let's start out with this word detox. Now, what would you say comes to mind when the average person maybe hears the word detox versus what does it actually mean?
Yeah, I think people think of like going vegetarian or doing a 3-day juice cleanse or something like that. And that's not what detox is. So detox is a daily practice that everyone should be doing. Because we are exposed to dozens of heavy metals and thousands of chemicals. It's estimated there's 80 to 100,000 chemicals currently in our environment. There's 2,000 to 3,000 every year that get introduced. And we've been exposed to this stuff for decades. And it accumulates in our fat. Anyone that has a muffin top or 20 muffin tops, and they just can't seem to get rid of that. Your body uses fat as a storage receptacle for this stuff, for this garbage that it can't process at the time. It also, these toxins, heavy metals get stored in our bones, in the fat in our brain, in our organs, our glands, and they do a number on our hormones, on our blood sugar regulation, on our brain functioning, every organ system, thyroid functioning, metabolism, you name it, cardiac function, et cetera, heavy metals and chemicals dramatically impact, interfere, and reduce function of all of our different organ systems. And when we think of these toxins that are in our air, food, and water, and the main point of entry is our lungs, we filter 11,000 liters of air every day, if not more. And so no matter how healthy you are, no matter what you do for your exercise, you're at the gym 2 hours a day, you're eating healthy, eating organic, you're taking tons of supplements, you're sleeping, stress reduction, yoga and Pilates and meditation and all this stuff that we're all doing, you're still getting this stuff. You're still accumulating these toxins. And so you have to be thinking about daily detox in your health regimen if you want to kind of get ahead of these toxins. And what the research clearly states, that these toxins cause so many of our chronic health issues. When you look at just lead, 17% of all cause mortality is from lead. So dementia, fatal heart attacks, chronic fatigue, and the health issues that lead are a result of having no energy to heal. The statistics and the research are pretty grim.
Now, this is obviously, I'd imagine majority of my listeners, because they're at least, you know, somewhat advanced and into biohacking and into health, I would hope that majority of my listeners are using a filter when it comes to their at-home tap water. So let's sort of start there. What do you recommend for people when it comes to like water, like actually hydrating the body?
Yes. Yeah. Water is actually pretty complex. It's very simple. You think, oh, I just drink eight glasses a day. Water is something I've studied for a long time. And so what I personally do after over 10 to 15 years of researching this is I drink spring water. So I stick to spring water and I add Celtic sea salt to it. So, or you can add any sea salt. I just avoid the super white bleached ones. I usually do the ones that have a little bit of color in them. So I'll do 2 or 3 pinches and a liter of that. And then I put restructuring substances into it. Like this one I like is called Crystal Energy. You can get that off Amazon. I don't know if it's in Australia, but it's by Patrick Flanagan. I put a couple drops of that in there, restructures the water, makes it much more hydrating. The 100 minerals from the salt makes it much more hydrating. You hold on to the water instead of that constant feeling you get by, you feel like you want to just urinate the water out within 30 minutes, and which, you know, repels people from staying hydrated and drinking water because it's annoying. Certainly annoys me. That is really, really important. Or you can get a filter. I know for a lot of people, it's just not economically feasible to get spring water in glass. You want it in glass because just a plastic bottle can have 250,000 pieces of microplastics in it. And so those are going to interfere into hormones big time. They're estrogenic, hormone disruptors. So don't want to drink water from plastic. I don't like stainless steel personally because I put salt in my water and that can leach tin from the stainless steel. So I don't like the metallic taste. I feel like I'm drinking metal. So I don't do, no way. No way, Jose, I'm not doing stainless steel. So so I like the glass. And sometimes I do plastic. It's just unavoidable sometimes if you're traveling and, you know, it's not, you know, sometimes we have bigger fish to fry, you know, when it comes to toxins. But you know, if you're gonna get a filter, a reverse osmosis filter or a distillation, is key. Distilled water will still have VOCs or volatile organic compounds in it. But reverse osmosis filter is going to, with, you know, I usually have to do a few stage filter, like maybe a 5-stage filter before the reverse osmosis to get everything. But the reverse osmosis water is damaged slightly. It damages the structure of the water. But again, a restructuring device at the end of that filter or something like this, the Crystal Energy will restructure it. And so I know that sounds kind of complex, but that's that's how you get water right. That's how you do it right. So I don't know what to say.
Yeah. And I mean, it's definitely, you know, there's many different ways you can look at it and different, there's a lot of different like marketing, you know, channels and different things talking about how like you know, their water's the best and this water's, this filter's the best. But I think, like, for an actionable step for my audience to understand straight away after listening to what you just said is take your water intake seriously, because that water that you drink on a daily basis, you can't go a day without your water. So make sure that, you know, for those listening in, prioritize, you know, invest some money into, like, perhaps getting a water filter. It still surprises me, Wendy, today that I speak to, like, people that are really into their health, but they don't, particularly in Australia, like, we add fluoride to our water. Like, we, it's chemical soup basically. But let's switch gears and talk about the detoxification channels of the body. Now, I studied naturopathy. I understand that not just the skin, we don't have to just sweat. There's many different pathways in which the body can detoxify. Did you want to sort of elaborate upon how the body actually excretes and eliminates toxins?
Yes. Well, the body will excrete toxins into the hair, actually. That's so we can measure heavy metals in the hair in that way. It will excrete it through the skin. So if your liver is not working so great, you'll be having rashes and, you know, maybe cysts in your skin and liver spots and whiteheads and blackheads, just clogged pores, if your liver's not working so great to detox you. Of course, then there's your liver. And then we also have the urine and stool are the other pathways, like the skin, the sweat in the skin, and also breathing. We actually, when we respirate, we can actually be breathing out toxins as well.
Yeah. Now, in terms of, like, strategies for people when they, like, first consider going onto a detox, I'd imagine over the years, Wendy, you've probably heard of all sorts of, you know, crazy different detox approaches. Maybe let's start out with some of the ones that you think are just, like, do not do that. Like, don't go there.
Oh gosh. I haven't thought about this in a while. I'm not a big fan of IV chelation. So that's something that most doctors, that'll be their first go-to, but that's kind of like dropping a nuclear bomb on an anthill. It's just too much too soon. Especially if someone is ill, you're just kind of forcing the body to release all these heavy metals into your bloodstream. And that's a recipe for disaster. This is not a detox is not a race. The body has to be prepared for detoxification. And you want to start slow and then ramp up over time. It's like running a marathon. You just don't start running and then the next day run 26 miles. You know, you have to kind of start out slow and kind of build up. So I think just immediately going to IV chelation is one of the biggest mistakes. And people realize that mistake very quickly, typically, or some people can be debilitated from doing that. There's doctors that can definitely do it right and are very skilled at doing IV chelation, where you essentially get an injection of amino acids and that will grab on to heavy metals and you urinate them out. But that can mobilize toxins from storage sites where the body's trying to tuck it away and keep it away from your brain and other vital organs. And so we don't want to stir that up. And it also doesn't do a very deep detox either. There are certain things you have to do to get toxins from deep, deep, deep in your tissues, in your bones, in your brain. And just doing 10 sessions of IV chelation, not going to do it. It's just not going to do a deep detox, and it can be debilitating as well. So just, I don't recommend that. But what I do recommend is doing things, very simple, free things that you can do is salt in your water. That's going to give you trace minerals, because minerals push out and displace heavy metals from the body. And we're all mineral deficient. We're under so much stress. We use up more of our minerals under stress. We use up magnesium. We use up potassium. We're under a lot of stress from EMF, emotional trauma, stress, just fear porn from the internet and the news and all this stuff. So I think today that our food is deficient in minerals, our soils are depleted. So we, on our supplement regime, we need to focus on minerals. That should be your main focus. Not these sexy supplements that are like the antioxidants and the brain nootropics and this and that. That's great, you know, but you need magnesium or the body is just not going to work. You know, you're not going to sleep. You're going to feel anxious all the time. You're going to your nervous system is not going to be able to calm down. You need minerals, or your body tells you it feels stressed and it feels anxious if it doesn't have these spark plugs of the body that are needed for detoxification and so many enzymatic processes in the body. And so just taking a few pinches of salt in your water, if you do that and it tastes really salty, you're deficient. If you put a couple pinches of salt in your water and you don't taste it, you don't need it as badly. That's the trace minerals, the sea salt and the water. But you also need macro minerals. So you need magnesium. You need about 5 times your body weight per day in milligrams. So if you weigh 200 pounds, you need times 5, 1,000 milligrams per day. It's probably a lot more than you're taking right now. And so you do that, you're going to be feeling so much better, sleeping so much better, detoxing so much better. So you need magnesium glycinate, magnesium malate is awesome, Epsom salt baths for magnesium sulfate, methionate's more for your brain. So that's not going to replete, your magnesium in your body or increase nutritional status of magnesium. The methionate's awesome for your brain. And you need zinc, you need selenium, you need calcium. A lot of people, especially menopausal women, need calcium. Even though there's a lot of info out there that's contrary to that, people do need calcium. They still need that. A lot of the studies are bogus, using really bad forms of calcium. And calcium needs cofactors, vitamin D and K and boron to tell it where to go. Or it can deposit in your soft tissues, but you just need to take it in a complex that has all the cofactors so it goes where it's supposed to go, in your bones and things like that. So you need those main minerals and trace minerals, and you're going to be very happy.
Let's say, Wendy, someone's listening to this podcast. They're loving what you're saying. They're enjoying learning about this. Let's say they actually want to assess whether their body contains a high amount of heavy metals. What are some of the testing methods or approaches to detect like the levels of toxicity?
Yes. And so I highly recommend people do heavy metals testing, because I think you're going to be surprised and upset typically when you do a heavy metals test. Like I was just this professional health freak and a health nut and just doing what I thought everything was right. And then I got my test back and I had mercury. I had uranium. What is uranium? I had arsenic, really high arsenic. And I had, later I tested, I had cesium, I had thallium, I've had times I've had nickel come out and just other heavy metals as well, cadmium. And I know I still have lead in my body, even though I've detoxed for so long. It takes a long time for all the lead to come out, cause it gets stored in your bones. And so I think it's really eye opening when you do tests, like a hair mineral analysis is the first test that I did. And I like that the best because it shows a 3-month average of what's coming out of your hair, where a urine test is only 24 hours. And so it's kind of the hair test gives a lot of really key information. Also gives us your mineral status as well, which is interesting. And but you can also do urine and stool tests. If you do all three, that's going to give you the most complete picture, because different metals come out in different ways. So some metals we see best in the hair, some metals we see best in the urine, and some metals we see best in the stool. I'm not a big fan of blood testing like you get at your conventional medical doctor. It's usually only testing 4 metals, and they're typically going to come back false negative because the body doesn't allow metals to float around in the blood. These are very damaging, very harmful toxins. The body doesn't let these things float around. So unless you've had a very recent exposure right before the test, it's going to come back negative. And you're like, oh, on to the next thing. It's not that. So you have to be very careful about that. There is a good blood test. It's a very different type of test from Quiksilver Scientific, from Dr. Chris Shade. That is a legitimate test, a blood test that you can do, but it's very different from what you get at your doctor.
Let's say, before you mentioned lead being a major killer, increasing a contributor to mortality. You said, was it 17%? What was the percentage you said?
Yeah, 17% cause of all cause mortality.
So let's break that down and sort of explain what that, some of the mechanisms perhaps, like how can lead possibly be perturbing metabolism or biological pathways? What are some of the actual like ways in which it can damage the body?
Yes. Well, number one, it's very damaging to the brain. So a lot of these heavy metals cause a lot of oxidative stress. So they create free radicals, they damage DNA, they kill brain cells, they damage cell membranes, they damage our mitochondria, so they can get into our mitochondria and interfere in the mechanisms inside the mitochondria that are our cells' powerhouses that make our energy. They can outright kill the mitochondria, and they poison enzymes that transport nutrients into the mitochondria as well. So it's there's a lot working against our energy production today. And that also holds true for a lot of other metals, arsenic, aluminum, tin, thallium, cesium, and mercury, in addition to lead and other chemicals and metals, very damaging to our mitochondria, which produce our energy that our brain needs. You know, 20% of our energy our mitochondria make go towards the brain, like 30% goes to digestion. And number one complaint that most people have is low energy levels. They don't have the energy they used to have. They don't have the energy to recover from chronic health issues. You know, you need energy to sleep. Sleep is regenerative. It's a very energy intensive process. Your brain detoxes when you sleep. You need energy to sleep. Mm. So it's kind of the opposite of what a lot of people think. When a lot of people try to sleep and they think they're going to wake up refreshed and they don't, they're like, I slept for 8 hours. Like, why do I feel like trash right now? So the lead causes a lot of damage in the brain. It can cause just kind of, like I said, it kills brain cells. It contributes to Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. Like I said, it causes a lot of oxidative stress, release of radical oxygen species, which, you know, a lot of people don't have enough antioxidants to deal with all these heavy metals and fight them. And they essentially act like rust in our body, you know, causing brain shrinkage, killing off neurons. And over time, we start to see the effects of that in dementia, in lowered IQ, poor memory, poor cognition speeds. And even with lead exposure in children, if you are exposed to lead before the age of five, say there's lead in the paint in your home, your family does a restoration project, or even your neighbor is sanding their home, they're repainting the outside of their 100-year-old home or 50-year-old home, they're sanding it to repaint it, all that goes into your child's playground or play area. They're ingesting all of that lead dust. And it's estimated that in the U.S. alone, children have lost 400 million IQ points. It's permanent, irreversible brain damage. And lead also causes learning disabilities in adults, ADHD. And I mean, it just is, it's so debilitating. And it's just largely ignored in the medical field. And I really don't know why. I mean, there's overwhelming evidence and research that shows all the harmful effects of these metals. So yeah, so just lead alone, very problematic.
Another important bit to note there, Wendy, something that I'm trying to really drive home with a lot of the content I'm creating now and really help to try and educate the audience about is like, just the absolute importance of maintaining optimal mitochondrial function. I know you've spoken about this quite a lot as well, but you know, maybe just remind the audience why the mitochondria, you know, being the powerhouse of our cell, why, you know, how these heavy metals can actually perturb and disrupt these different pathways within the mitochondria.
Hey, babe, I'm recording right now. Okay. Sorry about that. Yes. Yeah, so heavy metals disrupt our mitochondria in many different ways. So I mentioned there was arsenic, aluminum, tin, thallium, and cesium, and mercury and lead, but there's other toxins as well. that disrupt our mitochondrial functioning. But, you know, there's a lot of different ways to create energy in the body. So the mitochondria do need nutrition to produce ATP, and heavy metals will poison the enzymes that transport nutrients into the mitochondria. So you could be at a disadvantage for energy production, even if you take supplements to try to improve your mitochondrial function or give yourself all the cofactors that make ATP. Okay. And additionally, we need to stress our mitochondria, you know, doing cold plunges and exercise and all the things all the biohackers are doing. You stress your body, you make more mitochondria. But our mitochondria also have biophotons in them. So when we're in the sun, or when we get into an infrared, like a far infrared sauna that has the red lights in them, that's the same wavelengths as the sun, we charge up our mitochondria. And so that's another way that we can, that's why you feel energized after going in the sun, because you're charging up your bio battery, so to speak. And then bioenergetically, we can also feed information to our body to create energy as well. And there's actually university studies done on this, on certain different bioenergetic products or liquid remedies called infaceuticals that have information in them, correct operating instructions for your mitochondria that can help to increase your energy levels as well. And those are products by Ness Health. And that's bioenergetic software that I use myself and with my clients and our team of practitioners use. And so it's really, really interesting. But there's lots of different ways to work with energy to charge up your mitochondria as well. But you can't discount the role that heavy metals and chemicals play in hindering and killing your mitochondria. So say you're feeding your mitochondria in all these other ways with the sun and with bioenergetically and good nutrition and all that jazz, you know, you still need to address the toxin part, because you're going to have a deficiency there of whatever 10 or 20 or 30% of energy you're not producing because of the toxin. So it's just something that has to be addressed in order to kind of to maximize your energy production.
Yeah. When it comes to different strategies to accelerate or enhance detoxification, let's look at like sauna usage. I'd love to get your opinion on, you know, how to best leverage the sauna or any sort of, you know, sweating, you know, exercise. You want to sort of elaborate on how we can best utilize the sauna?
Yes. Yeah. So I love saunas, and really any type of sauna will work. I prefer infrared saunas. So I prefer the red bulb saunas that have the full spectrum of the sun. And so it just matches your body's frequencies better than like a typical sauna, like a far infrared sauna that just has like these black panels in it and they're emitting frequencies and they're far infrared range frequencies. And that's great. Those can throw people's energy field off because they don't match our energy as well. So, or our energy field. So I'm not talking about relationships right now. I'm talking about infrared saunas. For infrared saunas, I love the bulb saunas, and you can get those at Home Depot or you know, any kind of like hardware store. They're like $10, so you can kind of rig up your own sauna at home if you want, by using four of these infrared bulbs. But when we look at the research on just a regular sauna, so a Swedish or Finnish sauna, where it's just the sauna you go into and it's hot and you feel like you're dying. When you go into these really, really hot saunas, they're like 200 degrees. The research shows that people that use these 5 days a week have a 40% reduction in all-cause mortality. And if you use it 3 days a week, you have a 25% reduction in all-cause mortality. And that was a 25-year study that was done. But if you use an infrared sauna, where you see there's much more productive sweat, like you have much more toxins in the sweat, like we see in research with infrared saunas compared to a Swedish or Finnish sauna, you're going to have even more benefits than what we saw in this study. So I'm a big fan of infrared saunas, and the more you use them, the more benefits you get out of them. And not just detoxification, but improved circulation. You have, you know, they used to use hyperthermia before antibiotics. It kills off infections. It just has a lot of benefits for your skin and for your health in general.
Yeah, I've been a big fan of sauna usage myself, Wendy. I remember probably about 7 years ago when I was still living at home with my parents, I convinced them that we had to get a sauna installed in the house, in the garage. And that garage quickly became a biohacking studio. So I just completely took over the garage, set up my walk-in treadmill desk, and that whole place just transformed. But when it comes to different supplements, I mean, if you were to do a simple search on Amazon, I don't know if you've ever done this, but if you just search like detoxification supplements, what are the commonly used like ingredients that you'll find on the market, that, and are they actually effective? Sort of run me through what that process would look like from a customer point of view.
Well, if you do that on Amazon, you're going to come up with a lot of garbage. You come up with detox teas and all kinds of like nonsense. So you have to be very careful. I don't buy any supplements off Amazon. So you have just, especially like this Crystal Energy, no one in China is, you know, copying this and trying to make their $1 billion doing that. But when it comes to some of the kind of off market brands, or there's a lot of like really large companies that are successful, there's a lot of copies on Amazon. Like in China, there's companies copying that product and it's not the real product. But anyways, that's another conversation. But when it comes to detox supplements, a lot of stuff is not, it's not that great. So what you want to be taking is charcoal is great to take. I take an organic activated charcoal that's really, really nice. And you can do that, you know, a few days a week. That's a binder. It's going to absorb toxins like a sponge. And so that's one of the best things that you can do is taking a binder. There's going to be no side effects. If you happen to drink alcohol, a biohack I do is I take charcoal. And I have zero hangover, much reduced load on my liver, and wake up feeling really good. And so you can do that. There's other binders like modified citrus pectins, which have a lot of research behind them. You can take zeolites. Those are fantastic also. But within any product category, you're going to have garbage, and you're going to have stuff that's really high quality and clean. So you have to, you know, be aware. On my website, on MyersDetox.com, I have a curated collection of all the supplements that I use and recommend to our patients. But yeah, those are the best binders. Then, of course, I already talked about the minerals. Those are all key for detoxification. Those are the basics. I also love chlorella. That's also fantastic as well. Not everyone tolerates it, but I love chlorella for detoxification as well. It's not going to be as strong as, say, a charcoal or a modified citrus pectin, but it's still super nutritious.
When it comes to like planning out a detoxification like protocol, I'd imagine most people, when they start out, they try and throw everything all at once into their body, and it becomes just this detoxification like nightmare. You know, they have like this Herxheimer reaction. Do you want to sort of explain to my audience why it's important to actually, when they approach detoxification, they should take it slow and steady and don't just throw everything, don't do the shotgun approach?
Yes. Yeah. So this is really important. I think a lot of people will try different detox products or infrared sauna. They start doing it every day and they're like, oh my God, they're doing something so healthy. But it's like anything, like I mentioned with the marathon, if once you start running, it's, you know, you have to go slow and work your way up to running a marathon. You have to start slow. Like even for some people, even taking minerals, their body doesn't tolerate it because minerals are detoxing you. They're pushing out and displacing heavy metals. And that could be too much for some people. They just need like a tiny little amount of salt and then work their way up. Some people need a tiny amount of magnesium and then they have to work their way up. And so it's just like anything, You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So if you start doing infrared saunas or start taking a detox supplement and you feel terrible, that doesn't mean you can't do detoxes. That just means you, it's just too much too soon. And you also, when you start mobilizing all these toxins in your bloodstream, you need to take things to reduce the circulation of these toxins in your bloodstream. You need to take binders. If you're doing any detox protocol, you have to take binders or you're going to feel like crap. You also have to drink a lot of water. You also have to rest. You know, you also have to support your liver function. Coffee enemas are amazing. Liver flushes, liver supportive herbs and foods. Because if your liver is backed up or you have non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, or it's just not, say genetically, your liver just sucks. You know, it's some like my mind, like I just got a bad hand of the genetics with my liver. And so it's something I always have to focus on and support.
With the liver side of things, that's actually, it's very common, isn't it? Like a lot of people who think they're actually quite healthy, they actually have like a very sluggish liver. And I remember actually, because I was very interested in like traditional Chinese medicine, like loving to learn about how they approach health and stuff. Whenever I'd hear about people that would see a traditional Chinese medicine doctor, they would always come back and say, yeah, I have something called liver qi stagnation or liver qi heat, or just like heat in the liver. And I'm like, oh, geez, I was starting to learn from a young age, like, damn, a lot of people have like their liver is just overburdened, like it's just struggling. And so that's why, like, I mean, from the early days, I started using artichoke extract. I just love artichoke. I started playing around with like milk thistle. But yeah, totally think that liver health is crucial.
It's a huge problem. I mean, even the US, there's 100 million people, one in three people have non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. That doesn't even count people with cirrhosis or other types of liver disease, or just high enzymes, or just a poor functioning liver. Or that doesn't, you know, when people are eating like a bad diet, they're eating really bad fats, the industrial seed oils, the partially hydrogenated oils, or high sugar, or all this stuff the liver has to deal with. You know, our liver helps us to digest fats. It controls our blood sugar, metabolizes our hormones. It does all these different things. And if your liver is just underperforming and you throw all these toxins on top of it, detox takes a back seat. You know, if your liver is constantly having to put out all these fires, the high blood sugar and the bad fats and all this stuff, and your, you know, whatnot, your detox is just back burner. It's just not a priority. It's not needed for survival. So the body will tend to store away all these different toxins in our fat. And that's why a lot of people, they'll have some resistant weight loss. They just can't get rid of that last 20 pounds, or they just can't lose weight, no matter, just punishing themselves. And typically when that's the case, you want to start looking at toxins and emotional trauma as well. But really, toxins play a big role in people, you know, poisoning people's metabolism and having that storage receptacle that's so annoying. But that's a survival mechanism that's in place.
Well, this is actually something that I've, you know, tried to emphasize quite a lot, is the importance of maintaining optimal thyroid hormone output. And I'd say majority of my listeners probably know that fluoride can disrupt iodine affect iodine from helping the thyroid to create thyroid hormones. But one thing you mentioned there is how toxins and like heavy metals, for example, can perturb metabolism or disrupt key metabolic pathways. And then you've linked that there with something that most people are trying to do, which is drop body fat. So did you want to sort of explain the link between how heavy metals actually may be putting the handbrakes on fat loss?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love this topic for sure. Because like for anyone that's ever struggled to lose weight, it just, you know, like for me, when I hit like 37, I had a baby and I was trying to lose the weight, and I was exercising 6 to 8 hours a week. I was going to bed hungry. I was eating all my vegetables and fruits and doing paleo and eating super healthy. And I just was doing everything right. And it was really difficult to lose weight. And I just thought, If I had done this in my 20s, I would have been an Olympic athlete. I just would have like gotten amazing results and just not happening. And so this started me on this odyssey of, you know, trying to figure out what is wrong, what's going on with my hormones and all these and this resistant weight loss. But when we look at the research, we see that heavy metals and chemicals poison the thyroid. They poison the pancreas and our ability to control our blood sugar. They negatively impact our gut microbiome, which is needed to absorb nutrients. A lot of people are not absorbing their nutrients. They're not absorbing the supplements that they're taking, and they just crave food. They can't stop eating or thinking about food because they're not absorbing their nutrients, and your body's going to make you eat salty food or sweet food or whatever it is until it gets the nutrients that it needs. And so you really have to, when I'm working with someone, I want to make sure they're optimizing nutrient absorption. And additionally, heavy metals can also, like I said, impact our hormones as well. Our lower testosterone levels, increased estrogen levels. You're going to gain weight when that's happening. And I could just go on and on and on and on. But when it comes to the thyroid, mercury is a big culprit because it deposits in the thyroid. The body can launch an immune attack on the mercury, but your thyroid tissue gets destroyed as a result of that. And mercury also lowers thyroid hormone production, lowers thyroid hormone conversion from T4 to T3. And it also can deposit in the pituitary gland, which is like the master hormone orchestrator, and just mess all that up. And so there are just so many different ways that these metals interfere on our metabolism and in every different level.
You mentioned mercury before as, you know, one of the most damaging heavy metals to a degree. From what I understand, I believe, so mercury has a significantly long half-life in the body. So, you know, lingers in the body, it stores in fat tissue in the brain and stuff like that. Would you say mercury is like the leading most damaging heavy metal out of all of them?
I mean, I would say that lead is the most problematic metal, then mercury. It's hard to say which one's number one, you know, but I have like my top 10 or top 5 offenders. But cadmium causes a lot of the cancers. So cadmium causes more cancers than all of the other metals combined because it interferes when cells replicate. So when the genetic code is copied, interferes in that process and you get this aberrant cell that they can grow into a tumor. So that's why cigarettes have a lot of cadmium in them. That's why smokers get cancer. It leads to that. And the cadmium also causes hardening of the arteries, and that leads to hypertension and heart disease and whatnot. That's why smokers have those issues. And then when we look at other metals like arsenic, number one cause of diabetes is arsenic. A lot of people don't realize that diabetes is not necessarily from carbohydrate intake. Diabetes is from the pancreas being poisoned, those beta islet cells in the pancreas, so that we are no longer able to produce insulin or manage our blood sugar properly. Okay, the liver is involved in that too. So it's just all the metals are bad on some level, and they damage different parts of our brain, body, metabolism.
That's really interesting. I never knew that about arsenic being a major contributor. And it's good that you sort of explained that. It's specifically because it's damaging the beta cells of the pancreas. I was just thinking, like, how is that sort of linked there? But I'd imagine, just like with many different things, there's so many different molecular pathways that they're probably disrupting. It's not just like, oh, you know, affecting the pancreas. It's probably then also affecting muscle, GLUT4 receptors, or some other stuff downstream that we're still just starting to learn more about. In terms of, you know, I mean, you've created a significant amount of exceptional high quality content online, Wendy. You've created so many amazing resources when it comes to detoxification. Your latest focus and project has been this incredible documentary. Did you want to sort of explain that and share that with my listeners?
Yes. Yeah. So I'm just really excited about my new docuseries. It's called Heavy, and it's really focusing on heavy metals and chemicals and how those are contributing to our chronic health issues of our time. And so there's 7 free episodes, and they focus on obesity, how toxins cause obesity and resistant weight loss. And then the second one is how toxins cause diabetes, which I think is very surprising for a lot of people to hear. But I really want to get this information out there, because I think people really blame themselves when they can't lose weight or they have a health condition that they're told is lifestyle and diet related. They think, oh, I screwed up. Yeah, I shouldn't have had that pizza for so many years. But people don't understand. It's not just what they're eating. It's the chemicals in the food. It's the glyphosate in the wheat. It's the hormone disrupting chemicals in the oats and in the carbohydrate food, but also in the packaged food, the fast food, and other things that people with maybe poor diets are eating. But even if you're eating a healthy diet, you're still getting a lot of these chemicals, and they over time harm your body and lead to different diagnoses. And so in the Heavy docuseries, we also talk about toxins that affect your hormones, your thyroid, sex, and stress hormones. We talk about how toxins are very aging. So detoxing is very anti-aging. And then we also talk about how toxins affect your brain as well. That episode is called Save Your Brain. And then I also have another video about, it's called The Weight of Worry, about how emotional trauma contributes to weight gain, because emotional trauma is often overlooked. But there's a lot of conventional medical research that shows that emotional trauma contributes to 65% of physical health issues, including cancer. And so I know a lot of people listening to this show are working on their physical health. When you have a physical health issue, you think it's a physical solution. It's a supplement or a exercise routine or medication or whatever you're looking for. But if you're doing everything right in your health and you still kind of wake up just feeling kind of meh, or you just don't feel joy in your life, or you just can't get to the root cause or reverse a physical health issue, you might want to look at emotional trauma as an underlying root cause, because working on your emotional trauma pays dividends in your mental and physical emotional health. So I just wanted to communicate all these things in the Heavy docuseries. And there's, of course, a couple of detox breakthrough videos as well that people can watch. And we also talk about toxins that interfere in digestion as well, because 40% of the planet has digestive issues of some sort. So you guys can check that out at theheavymovie.com.
We'll make sure to leave that linked in the show notes. And I believe you've had a huge number of people already, express their interest in the series. And it's incredible what you've developed. I mean, this is something that's needed by basically everyone on the planet. Anyone into health optimization should definitely check that out. I'll make sure to leave that linked in the podcast show notes. But otherwise, Wendy, it was an absolute pleasure having a chat with you. It's great to meet you face to face in Dubai. We were both speakers at the conference there. But if my audience also wants to connect with you and find you and your website, where else can they find you?
Yes, you can find me on MyersDetox.com. And I've got hundreds of free articles. I have over 500 podcasts of the Myers Detox podcast. You can check out there. And we've had over 6 million downloads so far of the show. So just really thrilled that people are really interested in this type of stuff. And I'm getting the message out there. And you guys can find me on all the social media at Myers Detox as well.
Awesome. And don't forget to check out my episode on Wendy's podcast.
Yes.
Is that going on?
Oh, yeah, it's live.
Awesome. Make sure to check that one out if those are listening in. But otherwise, yeah, Wendy, we'll definitely be in touch. Thank you again for coming on the show.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Awesome.